Today, I'm excited to chat with a remarkable entrepreneur and innovator in digital marketing. Kevin Polley is the man behind ARP Reach, a powerful email marketing tool. ARP Reach has been pivotal for many leading names in internet marketing, offering advanced functionality that rivals even some of the highest level subscription-based autoresponder services. Kevin is also the visionary behind V2 Movement. We'll find out more about that, but this really underlines his commitment to providing top-notch digital solutions. He's also the founder of Mutual Advantage, a marketing firm which showcases his expertise in various aspects of online business and digital marketing. So let's delve into Kevin's journey and discover the innovative approaches and strategies that he has employed to stay at the forefront of the digital marketing world. Kevin, welcome.
Well, hello, whatever time it is, wherever you are, thanks for listening.
Well, it's good to have you with us, Kevin. Now, I guess we should start with asking if you can just share a little bit about your background and what initially inspired you to venture into this crazy world of digital marketing and online business.
I think the best answer for that is I needed to make money because I'm totally unemployable. I started off in 1999 on this online journey. And that was when the internet was in its infancy and I bought my first domain name. And at that time, we didn't have WordPress or anything. So I went and took the time to learn how to write HTML. And I put this page up and I suddenly realized that, well, how do people find this page that I've created? There's more to this story. So I've got a page that was trying to sell, I think it was gardening services at the time. And I just realized no one's going to find me. And that led me into the rest of the journey, which has involved becoming an SEO expert, using schema.org, creating the UK module for one of the original open source shopping carts, creating a hosting company, getting involved in data transit. Literally from 1999 to now, it's been one roller coaster of a ride, and I'm just glad to be here.
I can imagine. So it all started with your green fingers, is that right?
Exactly. Yep.
Got a lot to answer for, those green fingers. So when was this? So what were you doing prior to that? Did you have a job? I know you said you're unemployable, but before that, what were you doing before that?
I'm also a coded welder. So from an early age, I never used to like getting up in the morning for school. And it became problematic when employers wanted me to turn up at a set time in the morning. And at the age of sort of 17, 18, I never drank, never, ever drank when I was younger than that. But with the hangover at 8 o'clock in the morning, it wasn't good. And I suppose my story could go back to when I was 11 and I realized that mum and dad weren't giving me enough pocket money. And my uncle turned around to me and he said, well, why don't you start a little part-time job? And that was the gardening. And if you're that young, there's not many of the older generation that don't need a helping hand. And I tried to be polite. I tried to do a good job and they paid me. And then I got a job in an off license. And from there, the owner of that off license, he taught me about working to lists and planning what I was going to do, making sure the customer was happy. So I always had that entrepreneurial streak, and it was always based on if I need something or I want something, I have to be responsible for making my way in the world. You know, what was the point of being paid £1 an hour if I was working for someone back then when I could get £5 an hour by working for sort of the older people, helping them, and they were happy to pay me for that. Then I became a DJ when I was 16. And as a DJ, it sort of brought together all of my passions at the time. And the money that sort of a DJ on the circuit was working, you know, as an hourly rate was phenomenal. And it kind of just made me realize again that having that freedom and the flexibility to manage your own life, manage your own time, set your own value, it would be the definition, the defining moment for me. And since then, you know, all of the skills that I've learned, the different businesses that I've started up, not just internet, publishing businesses, printing businesses, it was that I've got to start something up to make a little bit more money or give myself a little bit more time so that I can spend more time playing music or spend more time on holiday or something like that.
So what came first in terms of your online endeavours?
The first major thing in my online endeavours was the UK module for Zencart. Back then, you know, sort of the internet was a new thing. People were being told, if you're not on the internet, your business will suffer. And in the 1990s, we had, you know, sort of a 9-6 baud modem. There was none of this face-to-face and video. Web pages were words. You couldn't even get pictures on them back then. So there's been this whole technology. And when you wanted to have a web page, you then needed to find a way to sell it. And that was Zencart back then, which was an open source shopping cart. And the problem was that the developers were all American. So if I wanted to sell a batch of leaflets or something like that, the states in the drop down for the order form were all American, and there was no UK module. And I realized that actually there's a bit of an opportunity here. So I went in and I sort of contacted the post office, got their first list of counties, and then Royal Mail, their list of drop zones. And I hacked, quite literally. I wasn't a coder then. I'm not a brilliant coder now. I'm a hacker. And that doesn't mean that I'm like anonymous and I'm going to be getting into your bank account. It just means that I take a little bit of code that's here and a little bit of code that's there, find a little bit of knowledge and make something work to do what I needed it to do. So my first step was the UK shopping cart for Zencart, and that allowed a couple of thousand people back then to set up their shops and distribute their products around the UK.
It was one of those systems that just took the internet by storm as well, because it allowed people finally to make sales online. Then after that, you moved more into software development yourself, is that correct?
It, from then, I used the software development skills that I picked up, hacking PHP, MySQL together to make a module for Zencart. I then realized that the next problem in my journey was going to be, how do you get found in the search engines? You've now got a website, you've got your shopping cart platform, you've got a way of distributing the goods, but who and how are people going to find the product you're serving or selling in this big online web? So I got into SEO at that point.
And what was that like? Because this is kind of early days of the internet, I guess.
Yeah, that was really interesting. So I think sort of the first nugget that I could give people that are listening to this is, don't wait for the tidal wave of something to pass you by. Position yourself on the crest of the wave and surf that wave as far as you can. Don't go over the top so you get swamped with it, but surf it. And what happened was, I was looking for, rather than how do I get found in search engines, because there were a few people talking about it, I asked a different question. How do search engines work? Because my logic was, if I can work out how a search engine works or something works, then I can either be a smarter worker and work with the underlying code and position myself higher, or find other shortcuts that get me better results. And back then, the answer came from sort of looking on page, let's say, 78 of the results of whatever search engine it was back then. Google was in its infancy. And I ended up coming across something called Good Relations. And Good Relations was an ontology. And if you've never heard of an ontology and you never hear it again, you don't need to worry about it. It's just lots and lots of words and phrases that are put together. And it's the sort of things that academics and professors use. And I found this information in the University of Munich's website. And there was a guy called Professor Martin Hepp. And he'd created this Good Relations ontology. And basically, what it was special code that was written in something called RDF that you put on a web page that told the search engines of the day exactly what it was. Because back then, all these words and pictures are just words and pictures. It's one mass of everything. And this was the beginnings of what I've since learned was machine learning, which has become artificial intelligence. And I learned that these computers needed to understand what a word meant, so that if you had cup, it was a receptacle and it might have a handle, and then it would have a size and it could have a value. And this ontology, Good Relations, was that effective at getting websites onto the first page of Google, that when Google and the other search engines created schema.org, which everybody, you know, 6 years after I was playing with it, using SEO, they wrapped up everything I'd learned about Good Relations and incorporated it into schema.org. So that now when you look online and you ask for, I want a new headphones or I want a new mic, and it's got all of the spec and the price and you see it in the search engines, that is schema.org. And I was playing with that 5 or 6 years beforehand.
And has that led into your other entrepreneurial kind of developments, if you like? Because I know you said, so SEO, driving traffic, and we mentioned in the introduction about ARP Reach, which is email software, email marketing software. Am I right in thinking that you acquired ARP Reach, and how did that come about?
So that was really, really interesting. I'll answer the question, yes, I acquired ARP Reach. Now, if I go back to the year 2000, when I was playing with my first website and everything else that I've just gone on about, I'd learned about email marketing, and I knew that once you'd got somebody on a search engine or your site on a search engine and somebody had found you, there were three choices that that person had. That was, they could bookmark you, they could go away, or they could buy. So that meant that after all the time and effort, I'd got a 33% chance of getting the desired result. There had to be something better. And I can't remember how it came about, but email marketing was in its infancy. And I realized that, oh, I could pay monthly for this service and I'll be able to put a form on my website, on my, you know, shopping cart. And people that now find me because of the work that I'm doing with Good Relations, they'll be able to sign up for my newsletter list, and then I'll be able to email them once a week, once a month, once a day, whatever it is, and that will save me money on advertising. But here's the problem. If I'd have been paying $20 a month from the year 2000 to now, that would have been a lot of money. And that's the basic cost. So again, I used the search engines, and somehow I found ARP, or what it was called originally was Auto Response Plus. And it was software that you bought once, installed on your own server, on your own hosting, and there were no additional costs other than once a year you paid a small fee to get your updates. And that worked out in my mind to be the best solution, because when I was starting up, I didn't know whether I was going to be making money every month to cover the bills. So to buy something outright, have the ability to use it forever, just made common sense. And that's where I started my journey into email marketing. I bought Auto Response Plus. Neil Morgan, the developer, took that to ARP3. That was using CGI and CGI, I think it was CGI and Perl, which is old technology. Then it became ARP Reach, which was using PHP and MySQL, which was faster and more current, gave him a lot more scope in which to develop it, and it worked fine for years. And then he kind of stopped developing it, and I needed to have some customizations done to work with the shopping cart that I'd done for my business, and I wanted it to do more things, and I wanted it to have segments and all of these things that we know and love, and it just wasn't being developed. So I reached out to Neil because, you know, one of the big things in this business is if you're serious, you start talking to people, you build up relationships with them. You can never underestimate the value of having a good relationship with someone. And if they are a software developer and they're responsive and you know, giving them feedback when they're trying new things, I became a beta tester for him. When I said, is this going to go anywhere? If not, can I buy it? He went, do you really want to buy it? I said, well, I've built my business around this software. If you're not going to develop it, I've either got to go and start paying monthly, which is going to be ridiculous with the size of my list, or I take it on and try and develop it for my benefit and other people come along. And that's the story of how in 2015 I acquired ARP Reach.
And I guess, as you say, I mean, it saved you a huge amount of money in terms of, you'd have been spending, you know, possibly hundreds of dollars every month since the year 2000 to grow your list and increase your business. I guess taking that principle and applying it to, well, if I acquired this software, I can then not only not have to pay for it anymore, but also develop it in the way that I need. So ARP Reach has revolutionized the business in so many ways. What's next for ARP Reach now that you own it?
So ARP Reach has evolved into V2 Movement. So it got to a point where the business model that ARP Reach had for so many years that meant that the original developer couldn't keep affording to develop it. So the business model of pay once works great for you as a user, but for me as a developer, I'm not getting that regular monthly income. So the ARP Reach software, while it's still available at arpreach.com, there had to come a point where to fund the ongoing development and make it possible for me to introduce AI into self-hosted software, which is something I've been working on, I had to think carefully about what I was doing. And it upset some people that, you know, they lost their sort of, we've paid for it once, why aren't you developing it for PHP 7 and PHP 8 and things like that. And the reality is that it's just on like that. So ARP Reach has become V2 Movement, and you can find that at v2movement.com. And